This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
We'll lead with the president's mission to Cuba. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Business is global. President Obama is headed to Cuba this weekend with an entourage of diplomatic and trade officials. Airlines want rights to fly in. U.S. Postal Service announced this week it was resuming direct mail for the first time in 50 years. But as Marketplace's Kimberly Adams reports, there's still a long way to go before trade relations look anything close to normal.
Without Congress, there's only so much President Obama can do to strengthen economic ties between Cuba and the U.S.
The biggest change has been the message from both sides that they actually want to take steps to improve relationships.
Gustavo Membiela is with the Hunton and Williams law firm in Miami. He says it's still pretty tough for a U.S. company to set up shop in Cuba.
There are issues with the currency exchange within Cuba. There's issues with employing Cubans if you are in a permitted sector.
Such as agriculture or telecoms. Cuba could ease those currency restrictions if things go well. John Gronbeck-Tedesco researches U.S.-Cuba relations at Ramapo College in New Jersey.
Getting money flowing between countries, getting the postal system working between countries, all of that is happening, and certainly it's going to make companies want to do more in Cuba. The question also is, what is Cuba going to allow?
A question Mr. Obama will be trying to answer next week. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.
Business is Global Part 2. A judge in Brazil has canceled the appointment of ex-president Lula as chief of staff to his successor, Dilma Rousseff. His swearing in is seen as a bid for immunity as Lula is being investigated for corruption. The BBC's Philip Hampshire has more.
Protests continue in Brazil over the corruption scandals gripping the country. Police fired tear gas and stun grenades to keep protesters away from the headquarters of President Dilma Rousseff in the capital, Brasilia. Demonstrators want her to be impeached, that is, put under official criminal investigation. And there are also protests over the fate of the former president, Ignacio Lula da Silva. Despite being charged with corruption, President Rousseff tried to appoint Lula da Silva yesterday as her chief of staff. Brazilian courts intervened to block that move, which might have hindered his prosecution.
The economy of Brazil is a mess due in part to low global commodity prices. Let's check some numbers. The stock market is no longer down for 2016, which is a headline in itself. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up again this morning, up 0.3% in the case of the S&P future. A new academic study in 16 cities. A minority job candidate who whitens up the resume doubles the chances of a callback for an interview. It's from the latest edition of the journal Administrative Science Quarterly. 25% got callbacks if the resume didn't seem like a black or Asian person's. Just 11% heard back if they left the resume alone. And there was this catch. Candidates who chose not to whiten their resumes because they're applying to a company that says it values diversity got fewer callbacks. This week, we've been digging into the results of the latest Marketplace Edison Research poll. This time around, our focus is economic anxiety. It's striking to learn how many of us can't handle an unexpected $1,000 bill from a broken bone or a broken wheel bearing. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer spent some time with a person living the tension behind our polling numbers.
I'm going to start this story in a cemetery in Birmingham, Alabama. I'm with Betty Moncrief. We're standing under a tree which shades four graves.
This is my mother's grave over here. This is my grave right here.
That's Betty, a sturdy 79-year-old who tells me to watch my step on the uneven ground. I wanted to see the grave because it's one of the things that keeps Betty up at night, worrying. Let me back up a bit. I flew to Birmingham to meet Betty because she took our poll and scored really high on our Marketplace Economic Anxiety Index. We surveyed 1,000 people. She was among the most anxious. That's how I ended up in Betty's immaculate house, talking about her worries.
Okay, have a seat wherever you comfortable.
We go over her monthly finances. She gets a Social Security check every month for $754. She gets $79 a month in food stamps. That doesn't go too far. Most fresh vegetables are out of reach.
I haven't bought Brussels sprout. I like eggplants. I don't buy that. I don't buy tomatoes all the time.
Betty reaches for a stack of bills.
My biggest bills I have is the utility bills.
In the stack, a bill for $34.44, her monthly payment toward a vault for her grave.
It's my only luxury that I'm really paying for myself. Somebody got to buy it, so I might as well try to buy it myself.
Folks who scored high on our anxiety index told us they lay awake at night, worrying about money. Betty says she does that sometimes. After paying her bills last month, she had just $10 left.
$10? I said, I can't believe it.
But Betty doesn't want you feeling sorry for her. This is not a pity party. She has family in Birmingham. She could ask them for money in an emergency, but it's hard to ask for help.
I never asked nobody for nothing. I never had to.
And Betty says she's got friends who are a lot worse off than she is, who don't have family around and are running out of money. Betty says a handful of friends have even tried suicide.
They would tell me they don't know what happened to their money. When they pay a bill, they got to wait till the next month to get a check, and they still don't have money.
Betty says when she's feeling low or doesn't feel well, she gets active. She grabs a rake, grabs her neighbor, and heads outside.
We be out there raking up dirt in the back alley, and picking it up and leaves, trying to keep it clean.
I'm making it, she says. I won't give up. In Birmingham, Alabama, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
For the poll numbers behind the Marketplace Anxiety Index and our reporting on the data, go to marketplace.org. Our senior producer is Nicole Childers. Our digital producer was Tobin Lowe. Stephanie Hughes produces Marketplace Tech. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.